up straight for that logo on the side of your helmet and not the name on your back.
Yes, sir.
Because we know what it represents. It represents everybody here you see and everybody you can't that we've talked about. I'm here to strain with you, man. I swear to God, I'm here to strain with you. Let's go. Everything you got, strain with everything you got. Let's go. Bills on three. 1, 2, 3. Bills.
You're listening to the Off Tackle with John Fita Show with your host, Joe Miller. Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Off Tackle with John Fina Show on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network, presented by Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care. My name is Joe Miller, sitting alongside my very good friend, John Fina, back in the saddle again. Here we are. Look, it's
back in the saddle again. Joe Miller from across the pond.
We need an introduction.
Welcome back, Joe Miller.
Do we need an introduction? Do you need me to like tell you a couple things about me and stuff like that? Or are you?
Hi, my name is John Fina. I have a podcast. I used to have a consistent and reliable co-host named Joe Miller, but he decided to do Walkabout across the pond and. Anyway, welcome back, Joe.
It's good to be here. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for Jerry Ostrowski and Jay Spence the King, who sat in for me. I got to watch back the show with you and Jay Spence from last week, which was great once I got back. Yeah, you guys did a good job, and I had an amazing time, and I want to say it's good to be back, and it's good to be sitting here with you, and it's good to be sitting here with everybody that's piling into the comments section. Thank you guys so much for being a part of the show. Apologies for being a little bit late. Technical difficulties. It's just one of those
technical things. Difficulties.
Yeah, please stand by as we have as we're taking care of technical difficulties. But yeah, we had a football game yesterday.
Woo-wee, did we ever? Holy smokes! Didn't see that one coming. Did you?
I was texting Jay Spence the King, I think from Europe, and I was saying something to him to the effect of, The ability for this team to remain consistent concerns me. I don't know where it starts.
You're just diving right in, ain't you, bro?
Diving right in. Yeah, it's been a minute since you and I have talked. Even when you liken it to great football teams and taking it back to when you played in the era of the Bills that you played in. You know, yes, there was the one-off game that it was like, you know, during the season where it was just a bad matchup, which we've talked about, whether it was the Steelers or the Chiefs or somebody would just come along and just throw haymakers at you guys and it would be their night and it just wasn't your night. It was what it was. But by and large, your team was consistent, like consistent. You knew what you were going to get from the defense. You knew what you were going to get from the offense and you knew what you were going to get from special teams. And I just... Over the last year and a half, this team is just wildly inconsistent. And I just don't know that that's a brand for winning football when it matters, unless they do the inevitable get hot at the right time, at the end of the year, the last five games they play, right? And it's just like, bang, we are like hitting on all cylinders right now. Am I making sense to any of this?
And that's the show, everybody. Thanks for coming to the Off Tackle Show. Joe encapsulates the entire thought process in 14 sentences.
Whatever.
Adding a lovely dash of, I was in Europe.
We have a lot to talk about. You've been to Europe multiple times.
Yeah, well, I'm just playing with you, Joe. Yeah, there's a concern there. You know, from our perspective, right, dial it back and think about the Giants' perspective. This is a 1-4 team who had very high expectations. And they come in and just feeling it's a homecoming for Dable. He's a pretty personal guy. The guys like him. They want to play for him. So I don't think it's fair to say play above their ability. But these are all, you know, real footballistas, man. And they played a very solid game against us. And we had a couple of mistakes, a couple of miscues, not many, but by and large, this thing really looked like a slugfest.
Yeah, yeah. I will say this. Watched the game back today while I was working, had it on in the background and was watching it while I was doing some other things, trying to catch up, getting unburied from my email after being off for 2 weeks. I feel like even on my show.
Were you in Europe?
No, I was just in my basement just hanging out for 2 weeks. I had a green screen. My wife and I were downstairs in the basement green screening pictures. I feel like my viewpoint was skewed from the stands versus what I rewatched on television. I feel like that game last night presented itself differently live than it did on television. And I don't know if it's because of the broadcast team. I don't know if it's because of the angles. It could have been.
So tell me which one was more aggravating, being there or watching it on TV?
It was more aggravating being there. And even it felt like even the crowd felt it. The crowd just didn't feel like the Miami game. The crowd was insane. Like even McDermott said, that's the loudest I think I've ever heard the stadium be. It was insane. In London, it was the majority of the fans were Bills fans. And while they weren't necessarily Bills fans from Buffalo, they still understood when to get loud. And they weren't as loud or as consistent, but they were good. They were in like the crowd early, and they mentioned it on the broadcast. Tirico did. He was like, you know, the crowd really hasn't had much to cheer about. The crowd was just kind of listless. They were more there, almost like not shell shocked, but like waiting for something to happen. So it was different being in the stadium than when I watched it back. I was like,
do you find that happen in Kansas City or regardless? No. They're loud.
No, Kansas City are loud regardless. Like regardless, loud.
Maybe it's a training event for the 12th man too, for Bills Mafia, right?
You know, maybe. But to answer your question, or to reiterate what you said, on television, it looked like a slugfest. It looked like a defensive battle where these two teams were going at each other. In the stadium, it just felt like there was just a lack of energy, a lack of urgency from this Bills team.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. But on TV, it was just a slugfest.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was doing anything theatrical. I mean, the Giants had a few long plays, a few long catches. A couple of JA to Stephon Diggs, you know, were exciting to watch. Mm-hmm. But by and large, I mean, this was a team that played well defensively, as did we. So that's going to give you a low-scoring game. I think part of the issue with, you know, my expectation, right? This is the part where we do expectations. I think this is block number one, expectations for the game.
Thoughts on the game, yes.
Thoughts on the game. My expectation was coming off a loss against Jacksonville, total blowout, right? Mm-hmm. Well, not total blowout. I'm a little bit more reserved than that. But I didn't think like this was going to be nearly the game that it turned out to be. I thought vengeance is mine, say at the Bills, mm-hmm. and you were going to see a 21-point game.
Same.
And the Giants were not going to give that to us. I did not expect, and we'll talk about it in the bad, but I didn't expect Tyler Bass to miss two. Whoopsie daisies.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't expect to be punting it from their 38 either. I don't remember the last time that's happened. Like,
what? Well, if you go back and watch his first push right, he had a little hitch in his giddy up, and that's why it pushed. I saw it as soon as it happened. I as soon as I saw him, he kind of took a quarter step and leaned a little bit, and I just said, "Oh, that's off." He's gonna push that.
If somebody could remind me, in the comments section, unless you remember, they punted from the 38 before his first miss, did they not? I'm pretty sure they punted before his first miss.
No, I think the miss was on the second drive. Or no, the second drive was the Gabe Davis fumble.
Fumble, yep, that's right.
Right.
If anybody remembers.
Which, by the way, I mean, you know, that's your job is to hold the ball.
Yeah.
Right? Well, and I know we're going to get into something a little bit later, and I'll circle back to that comment. But it was a curious game. The Giants and Daboll did the right thing. You know, sustaining drives. They weren't terribly pretty, but when they needed a play, they got the play and got the first down. But it wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
There were some penalties that, you know, kept drives alive. So, yeah, my expectation was Bills victory without me sitting on the edge of my seat sweating like, well, I won't use my favorite analogy.
No, I when I sat down at in the stadium, the guy that sits next to me, he was been sitting there forever. He's like, yeah, we're like 15-point favorites. And I was like, well, we should win by 21, which is exactly what you said. And somebody put in the comments section, when you have high expectations and they're not met, kind of like what we are all feeling.
Right, right.
What happens.
Right.
Right.
Right. And then what comes with that, with a loss? Everybody's lashing out, you know, mostly on Twitter. But you go back, I watched the game just like you did. I just finished rewatching it. And there was some really solid play in that game. There were just a couple of miscues in a very hard fought game.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, we are lucky to get out of there with the W. Very lucky.
Escape. They 100% escaped. I don't remember who I was what I was watching or who I was talking to. I was watching another show or listening to another content creator talk, basically saying the same thing that I said, which was that was a game that set up for during the drought years that we would lose. And I said that on my show this morning. I was like, I'm sitting there and the penalty, the interference penalty gets thrown. We get the untimed down and all that whole sequence is happening. And I'm like, I'm thinking in my head how my show is going to go the next morning, knowing that we just gave this game away, a game that we trailed, came back, actually fought back, showed some moxie, put some points on the board, and then basically just gave it away. Yeah, but all in all, it was a W. It was a win.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, and I've been smart today. I've been pretty busy. I have not been diving into Twitter. And somehow my algorithm is all jacked up. I'm not seeing posts from people that I normally do. And I don't want to go get notifications from everybody either.
Maybe they block
me. Yeah, well, you can block me. I am so controversial, right?
It's true. It's true.
Hey, so this is thoughts on the game, and I want to ask you.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're standing in front of me and you're fronting me up and I headbutt you, I'm cool with that being a 15-yard flag. I'm okay. Good with that.
Okay.
But if I see you from like 6 yards away and I go full speed and blow you up and knock you down, somehow that's the same as a mild headbutt? I mean, what really constitutes relieving a guy of his cleats in the middle of a game? Do you honestly have to just out of the blue come swinging? Because to me, and who the hell was it? 99, de-cleating Spencer Brown in the end zone as he did. I'm like, you gotta take like about 4 or 5 steps to get enough momentum to dump Spencer Brown like that. But no, we can't throw you out of the game. We could still have 3 penalties on them, 2 on us.
It was one.
And you're out of the game.
It was 1 on us. It was only 1.
Two.
Nope, 3-1. 3 on them and 1 on
just on Deion.
Just on Deion. That whole sequence, I watched that several times today when I watched the game back. I kept rewinding it and watching it back. First of all, for Spencer Brown to fall like that, it takes a long time, right? It takes a long time for that guy. it doesn't happen quick. So
hold on, Joe. I'll do the sound effect for you. Timber. If Spencer Brown falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear him, doesn't make a noise.
He's a big old boy. I will say that I've stood next to him before, and he is a big dude, like a really, really big dude. But there's so much in the stand. The reason the crowd was angry was exactly what they were talking about on the broadcast. We all knew what was going to happen. Like, the play happened. All of this is after the play. It's all dead ball stuff, which means that all these penalties are going to offset. So what is taking, what did it take, 5 minutes, 7 minutes? Ugh. Like, I don't, maybe I'm exaggerating on the time, but it took forever. But to your point, I don't understand either at what measure constitutes, I think it's a punch, right? You have to throw a punch in order to be ejected, or you have to be the second man in. There's like second man in, or is that hockey? I think hockey has a second man in rule.
And by that same thought process, I mean, aren't they encouraging more people to just kind of run up and de-cleat a guy when he's looking at somebody else?
Well, what's interesting is like it's starting to happen more and more. It happened a couple times this weekend, and it just happened earlier for the Monday night game with the Chargers and the Cowboys. Is like there's pregame like tussles going on now around the NFL. Like, so there's something happening where, to your point, where people are feeling more emboldened, right, to do things that maybe are outside of the character and the nature of what football is about.
Well, I don't know. All I know is you mix very large men, testosterone, and adrenaline, and you're not going to, some of the results are not going to be like a cake baking competition.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. I loved, I'm sure you've seen 51st Dates with Adam Sandler, right? So her brother, who's on the juice, and like, yeah, Dan Aykroyd's character is like, that's the roids talking. Like, just some funny stuff going on. Well, you just don't know, right? But yeah, that whole sequence was interesting. There was a lot of flags in this game again. Like, this is 2 weeks in a row now where, like, it was just flag happy. They were throwing flags forever, any and all reasons.
Well, 7 on the Bills, 9 on the Giants, and 22 on that one play we just talked about.
Right, and hats. 22 flags and hats.
Right.
They threw just about everything they could throw on the field. That
right.
Yeah, that could have gotten out of control pretty quick. But all in all, it was a good football game. It comes down to just being a W. It you know, the win is all you're after. You know, they don't check at the end of the season when they go to playoff seedings on how you won. It's just, is the W there or is it an L? That's all they necessarily care about. And at the caution or risk of knowing what you're going to say, Josh Allen was pretty dejected after this football game. Like, he was dejected in his post game interview. He was dejected at the podium. They talked about it on Good Morning Football this morning. What would be your takeaway in a game like this, where as a player, where it's just like, it wasn't that things were going wrong necessarily.
Yeah. Well, look, I know where you're going with this. I mean, there's a lot of things swimming through Josh's mind, and some of those are swirling around on social media, and shoot, every broadcast, everybody commenting on football right now wants to know what's wrong with the Bills. Josh had two poor throws, two very poor decisions, right? Well, Dawson Knox could have bailed him out, but he could have won the game with that throw, and he short-armed it.
He short-armed
it. And then the other one was the interception.
He double-hitched and then short-armed it.
The other one was the interception. Latavius Murray snuck out of the backfield. I believe it was second down. He didn't need to go for the whole enchilada, and he throws a ball over the middle, you know, with pretty thick coverage. Latavius Murray sneaks out of the backfield, sits down at about 5 or 6 yards, right where the linebackers were. But Josh decides to try to get it over the linebackers, underneath the safeties, you know, four guys nearby, and it gets tipped. So he's not happy about that. And then, of course, the obvious thing that everybody's talking about, why aren't we spreading the ball around more?
Right.
Why don't we have a more, right, you know, I don't want to say efficient, more varied passing game? And I knew we'd talk about this, so I started thinking about it really hard. So I spent like 9 seconds on it, right? So it's one of or all of three things. It's Dable with play creation, too many things where Stephon is just the flat-out first read. And Dable, we're not getting...
You mean Dorsey?
That's what I said. They both start with D.O.
They do. Like, well, yeah. No, D.O.D.A. But you're close on this.
I pronounce him Doble.
Fair. That's fair.
All right. So
we'll send him a memo that John Fina has...
I've already let him go. He already got his pink slip. I don't even remember his name. He's like moved already. The U-Haul showed up.
Fixed the glitch. No, it's going to work itself out.
I'm okay with Dorsey. You know, so that we'll never know the answer to. Mm-hmm. Right. And the other thing is, hey, Gabe Davis and a slot receiver need to show up. Who are they? They need to get open. And the third thing is, we are not utilizing either Dawson Knox or Dalton Kincaid the way that we need to be to relieve the middle of the field.
But what is the problem?
So, yeah. So post game, Josh is like, yeah, I threw two stupid balls. And by the way, I'm a little frustrated that either everybody has convinced me by virtue of play design that I'm only throwing to 14, or I'm trying to be nice in an interview, and on the side, Khalil and Gabe and a couple other guys, you know, I'm going to have that step it up talk with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sadly, you know, you and I will never know. Maybe, maybe Adam Schefter knows.
As a former player, which is why we have you on this show.
Thanks. I thought it was because of my
blue awesome eyes. Commentary. Blue eyes. Johnny's got blue eyes. Anyways, as a former player, do you lean into, do you pay attention to, do you see it when things to the average fan like myself feels like the creativity just isn't there? So much like in a relationship, when, like, you know what, the excitement, the butterflies, the things that make this whole thing special is gone, it's time to break up. Now, I'm not talking about breaking up with anybody on the Bills team. I'm just saying 2020, 2021, that passing game was special. Like, there were guys wide open all over the field. The routes that they were running, the base systems that they were running, and it's the same system, same vernacular. Obviously, the organically, the offense has changed through the years by design, has to. But it just seems like the magic isn't there, right? It just seems like, so I got corrected by Peyton today because I said on my show earlier, I just don't have the confidence. It used to be if the Bills were third and whatever, third and nine to third and 22, if Josh Allen dropped back, I knew he was going to throw. As soon as he let the ball go, I knew it was going to a wide open wide receiver down the field. Now it's third and seven, and I'm like, I'm not sure. If we can convert this.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, and I'm not going to entirely disagree with you. But what we've also said is we need to be a little bit more formulaic, a little bit more surgical, work the middle of the field, not try to go to the deep ball every time. So, you know, pick your poison.
I'm not talking about deep balls. I'm talking about scheming guys open. I'm talking about scheming guys open and route combinations and route creativity. The Hardy route was great, right? The one that he scored on. Dawson Knox route that could have sealed the game. That was a great play call. It's just
a bootleg. I mean, that's a great play call, but there's nothing special about that particular play.
Other than it was open.
You got to call it. Yeah. You know, I think they did a couple of those things. They had Stephon Diggs in the backfield. He released for that first down, and then he motioned right to left across your formation, took the ball, picked up the first down. But yes, I think a little bit more creativity, but we're talking about the passing game. The running game was absolutely fantastic. The passing game, the offensive line in last night's game was outstanding. Their very best performance. They gave up basically one hold and one pressure that belonged to them. Mm-hmm. There were three instances where Josh dropped to 11 yards again, which I still scratch my head. So you laugh at that, right?
I laugh at the picture that I get in my head is you pausing your television, grabbing your pencil, walking up to your TV and going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Well,
the funnier part about that is watching me try to erase the pen off of my screen. I thought this was a dry erase. Damn it!
Your wife is like, you've been using the Sharpie again, haven't you?
Yes, I've been using the Sharpie. Keep the Sharpie away from that guy. So what happens when you do that is you step up in a more aggressive way. If you drop just to 8. Then you take a single step up and you release. You drop to 11 and you see the guy come and you're more rushed. Mm-hmm. And then you're out of sync. You know, it's not a smooth step and throw. You're evading a rush. Then you got to settle. Then you got to step. Then you got to throw.
Right.
And I'll start the good right now since we're staying on offense. Go back and watch the offensive line play. It was outstanding. On pass protection, 2 plays and minus Torrance not getting off the double team quick enough on the backside of a B block, which really, you know, gave up an awful tackle for loss. Dawson Knox, go back, watch the film. He blocked his butt off in the run. It is far and away the best game he has ever blocked.
I couldn't
believe it. I kept checking the jersey number. I didn't think it was him. I was trying to get a look at his face after that, saying somebody is like Alec Anderson is out there wearing Dawson Knox jersey. What the hell's going on?
That's funny. You can tell it's Dawson because he's got a giant helmet and his logo on his helmet is really small because his helmet proportionally is so much bigger. It's funny that you say that because I felt like Josh Allen doesn't have a very good poker face. Josh Allen, when he doesn't trust his line, his eyes are down. And I felt like his eyes were down because they were in the backfield a lot coming after him, and he couldn't get set. So it surprises me. The run blocking I would agree with, but it surprises me that you feel like that they played awesomely in pass blocking.
They did. And if you go back and look at the guys that came free.
Okay.
There are only five offensive linemen.
Correct.
And to be fair, on a couple of those schemes, you know, there are times when the center, right guard, right tackle are sliding to the right.
Right.
And then they drop a guy into coverage, or they bring a guy in a different way than you would expect. It's actually the quarterback's guy. But there were, I would say, nearly all those pressures did not belong to the offensive line, unless you want five guys to block six or seven. But if you go back, you have to rewind the film. When you look and you see pressure, I immediately go back. I want to know whose fault it was. And you go back and say, oh, well, that's the quarterback's guy. They brought too many.
Some of it is defensive scheme. Martindale is a heavy blitz coach as far as from a defensive coordinator.
He had a good plan, but it wasn't on the offensive line.
But what's even surprising there, and this goes back to the creativity in the schemes as far as the route combinations, is the fact that Josh used to be one of the best quarterbacks against the blitz there was, which made teams not blitz him. And now when the blitz comes, he gets not sure what to do, which tells me or should tell me that there's not a hot route, right? There's not a guy ready.
Right. Well, and that's scheme, sure. And they used a good blend of spy and blitz. And they, you know, Martindale did a nice job in this game.
For sure.
But again, you know, what neutralized it really well was the running game.
Yeah.
I mean, and hats off to every running back, include Damian Harris, for his, you know, impending recovery. It sounds just like a neck strain, hopefully, knock on wood. So we should get him back in maybe 2 weeks or less, I think, from that. And Latavius Murray really ran hard, and so did Cook. Cook looked great, and Cook running through the middle of the line, and it was pretty funny because we ran somewhat similar plays to the Giants, right? You'd expect that, and just to see them work against one another was kind of a curious thing. I was like, this is like looking at training camp, you know, 2 years ago. This is probably what it looked like a little bit.
That's funny.
But we did a nice job getting Edwards in as an extra tight end and as a fullback, actually, in the first few plays. I thought it was a pretty cool running game plan. We ran a lot of zone. We didn't hit the edge a lot, but we also ran that scheme of zone where you work either the tackle or the tight end to the backside and try to create a more or less a planned cutback rather than hitting a play front side. And it worked. It worked beautifully. It really did.
Deion Dawkins pulled a lot in this game. He pulled a lot. It was surprising how much he pulled.
And he picked up his guy every time too.
Yeah.
He did a terrific job.
Yeah. There was just the one play where James Cook fell into the back of his legs because somebody else came from a different direction, which connected with James Cook. But I thought the run defense was very good. I know that Saquon is coming off of an ankle injury. I'm sorry. Coming off an ankle injury, and so he was not limited, but they even talked about on the broadcast he may be a little bit limited. Other than the two runs he had late, I felt like they bottled him up well. And obviously, anytime you're playing against Saquon Barkley, you're on notice, right?
Yeah, the defense played great. I made a little list here.
Yeah,
and you know, inexperience aside, Dorian Williams and Terrell Bernard are flying around.
They are playing good football.
Bernard is not afraid to stick his nose up there and the big guys. He slips in and makes a hit. It's terrific. Rousseau played a really strong game. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason that Saquon Barkley picked up all those yards, where they started running power, and they didn't run it until that point. So what happens is, you on power, you want Rousseau to go up the field toward the quarterback and you create a natural seam.
Right.
And it took him a little bit of time. As soon as you step up field and you are unblocked as a defensive end, you need to sit down and you need to wrong arm the puller. Mm-hmm. And wrong arm means, you throw yourself kind of backwards into the line like this, because you need to shrink.
Yeah.
You need to compress that running space. And then the second thing that needs to happen is the DBs, safeties and corners that are at least near the box, they can't sit back and watch. They end up getting picked by the linebackers getting blocked. They have to be hungry and they have to fly up in there. Because otherwise, as soon as Saquon or Breida hits a seam, then you're doing chases, which is what we did. And
right.
We ended up chasing on a couple. Right. But by and large, they made the adjustment. Rousseau played really well. I think, we're getting a little excited about Epinesa. He had a couple of good plays, disappeared for the rest of it.
Contract year.
Say what you want. I'm gonna get controversial here. I think Elam played well. I think he had one tug that got called, and on the play where the reception on the sideline, and I don't remember who the receiver is because they wear Giants outfits and I don't follow those costumes. It was a beautiful ball by Tyrod. Tyrod played a pretty darn good game, and he dropped that one. And Elam or any other DB,
he dropped several in the bucket.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, he really did. So I think this was a great game for Elam. Not great in performance, but not a game where he goes into the film room and they have that same old conversation.
Right.
Right. He goes into the film room and they have a completely different discussion. Now, everybody and their mother is going to be saying, well, you got a target on your back, Elam, and it's not leaving anytime soon. Right. So you get one penalty, you get one ball completed on you, and you had your trash, your garbage, your bust, cut him, trade him for a ninth rounder, right? They don't even have nine rounds anymore. So you really can't complain about the defensive front six, really.
I think what was interesting, what stuck out to me, aside from the things that you talked about, was Von Miller's role. So Von Miller is 9 months, right, recovering off of an ACL. He's superhuman as far as his healing ability. We all know that. But you've got to expect, last week he was on a pitch count, you've got to expect that they're easing him back in. So what was noticeable to me in the stadium and what was noticeable to me in the rewatch broadcast film was his quickness off the jump. So like that quickness at 36, second ACL, 9 months removed, is still there, which is incredibly exciting. But what I thought was interesting was he would dart and get around the corner and then he would let up, almost like he was trying to force the quarterback in a direction without getting himself caught up in the fray, because he's still technically injured, right? He's still not fully recovered. He's not at 100%. He's probably at 90%, right? Because it takes, what does it take, a full year or something like that? You can play at 9 months, but it takes a full year to fully recover. I thought Von Miller's just, I'm excited to see him back completely healthy. The defense was great. I thought Taron Johnson played a great football game. I wanted to talk about the linebackers, but you covered it well. Like, it's, I miss Matt Milano, but I think there's an aspect of like, we're going to be okay here. Right.
Well, you miss Matt Milano. I mean, that's a given.
Yes. Yeah.
And Terrell Bernard is not Matt Milano, but he's doing his damnedest. I mean, he really sticks his nose in there. He has no fear. Von Miller is not ready.
Agreed.
Yeah. But you got to get out there and, he's just not turning the corner. He's not dipping and ripping, and he needs to – I think it's okay that he's playing. I think that it's smart to get him out there in a limited capacity just so he can continue to gently ease into some of the moves that, he was so brilliant at for I don't know, was he 12 years or 9 or whatever the hell it is?
A long time.
I mean, a very long time. But he's not ready. And hopefully that turns around. Hopefully he starts to trust that knee and he starts to do those Vonnie things that he does.
Yeah. I will finish the good with a gentleman that I have been critical of the last couple of weeks, which is Josh Allen. In me saying on Twitter last week that he was off the mark, right? That a lot of that.
Well, you were right.
But Twitter didn't agree with me. They were like, you're blaming this whole loss on Josh. I was like, I said coaching and injuries aside, which means that they played a part. But then people were losing their minds, like his completion percentage was blah, 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 blah. And they dropped footballs. And I was like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that he did not put the ball in a place where the receiver could do something with it afterwards. All that to say this, the good, the ball that he threw to Quentin, like, was insane. And there's the broadcast angle. And then they did the one from behind the end zone. And Quentin Morris is running, gets caught up with his defender, turns his back to Josh and runs towards the end zone. And Josh's arm is here before Quentin even turns around and that ball comes at him. Like, that was just across the body in a very small window. It was just so Josh Allen. Like that.
And it was a fantastic route. But you calling out Josh like that, you're just an arsonist. That's all you are. You're just out there trying to blow things up. And, you know, I know you're a big boy, right? I'll say that and people won't say anything to me, but they'll come after you. And I'm like 2,500 miles away. I can't fight anybody.
It's funny. No, Jerry Ostrowski has been saying it for a couple of years now, that we are very slow as a fan base to lay the blame, even the media, to lay the blame at Josh Allen's feet. Unless Josh says, I played like crap. Then the media is like, it's allowed now.
Okay, well, you don't have to. You can do whatever the hell you want. I make my own decisions, but it's based on how I watch the film. I don't look at the stats. Like, I didn't look at a stat until I finished watching the game for the second time. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? We probably had about 160 yards rushing. And we did, right around that.
124.
And it was between the running backs. I think it was 124.
128, yep.
Okay. So, to what you're saying, if you look at the stat line from London and you say, well, Josh Allen didn't lose this game because you can't see it with the perspective of the errant throws that he made, the throws that required touch,
right,
and the throws that just were off target. And you know what? That's fair. I mean, you're an arsonist, so you're going to get shots. I mean,
the arson last night was when the offense was putrid through three quarters, and I sent out the tweet of Maximus with the "Are you not entertained?" I sent it to you. Jerry bit on that. You did not bite on that text. Neither did
I did not spend a lot of time on social media during this game. I was a lot the previous game. I put my phone back there and I just want to watch the game. So I thought maybe I was responsible for the loss.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I was. So I got the win. You're welcome.
Yeah. We got a couple quick topics to talk about. Before we do that, I want to address this. I want to run the spot for Fichte, Endel, and Elmer. But Josh Vaughn says in the comment section, bring back the video breakdown with John. We would love to. We would absolutely love to. The NFL doesn't like it. Is that the easiest way to say it? Like, there's copyright rules and things like that. And then there's a measure of technology and the ability to do it well. So it's a twofold thing. If somebody could give us an idea on how to do it well and how to get around the copyright infringement stuff for the NFL, because we've got our hands slapped.
It takes me quite a while to prep which couple of plays I want to do. Josh, I think you want it back because you're a whistleblower and maybe you're going to get some cash from the NFL. It's a setup. That's a setup if I ever smelled one. And Josh, you know what? Thank you for being on the show. But if you were downloading this and listening to it while you're driving from Albany to Syracuse, it wouldn't make any sense to you. I enjoy doing it. I do it all the time. But maybe here and there we'll sneak one in and see if Joe just gets hand slapped again.
That's funny. Let's hear from our show sponsor, brought to you by Bruce Nolan.
It's time to say goodbye to the blur and hello to clear vision. Fichte, Endel, and Elmer are the first in Western New York to bring you Zeiss Smile technology. Along with our highly experienced surgeons, we promise an effortless journey to better vision. Gone are the days of fumbling for glasses or struggling with contact lenses. Embrace the freedom of superb sight, because we believe you deserve the world in HD. Visit us online at ficta.com and schedule a consultation. Ficta and Lynn Elmer, we are focused on you.
Super, super appreciative of Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care. Let's real quick get through the work. We've already been kind of bouncing around through this already, but I'm gonna give you the floor, my friend, because I feel like you will be able to be a little more concise in what you feel like needs to be fixed. Because for me, it's just more of a what's going on.
It works for me too sometimes.
Yeah.
What the hell were they thinking when the defense has three times out left and you know you need a first down? You can't ice the game. I'll give you the first run, but the second run, they walked nine guys up in the box. You know, do the signal, the hat thing, whatever it takes. Call a pass. Run a bootleg. I just... You know, Jerry's, whether he's on the line or not, when you're an offensive lineman, I mean, you look up, they got three timeouts, there's a minute 40, and you're like, it's not a, would be nice to have a first down. You must get it. Let's do what we do. Mm. And when they ran those two runs, I was nauseous. I was like, the first one you can get away with. The second one, you see how, and they stacked those guys up in the box soon enough. Call a different play. You know, you audible, do something. I was just disgusted by that. Now, of course,
there wasn't much audible.
Thrown a better ball, had Josh thrown a better ball, and Dawson Knox caught it, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation. What was it? First and goal, second and goal at the one, or wherever the hell it was, and we're in shotgun again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody hates that, and you know, I'm the guy that tries to rationalize everything and try to give some sort of excuse to try and play the middle as a former player who's been under the purview of a head coach, a D coordinator, an O-line coach. But it's just dog crap, man. Yeah. I just don't. It's just line up. You know, everybody grow beard and mash and just go forward. I don't love it. And Josh actually does okay under center. I don't know why we're so allergic to it.
I don't mind.
Yeah, he did it in the middle of the field. He's under center. I'm like, save that one for the goal line. Here's an idea.
I don't mind at all when he is in shotgun on third and short or whatever, as long as he's running the football. Like, if he drops back, hits that back leg and goes – it's 5 to 10 yards every single time he does it, just about. But yes, there's madness as far as that goes. The one that got me was the errant pass, but the pass that Dawson Knox dropped to ice the game. You run the football there, and you're taking an extra 40 seconds off the clock. Like, why are you passing the football? I know you want to pass the ball. But why? It's third and eight. I get it. Like, it's not an easy pickup. But if you run the football and you get 3 yards or 4 yards, James Cook, who and Latavius Murray are both having relatively decent days on the ground. They get 3 yards, 4 yards, put the ball where you want to put it, whatever. You'd run another 40 seconds off the clock, kick the field goal. Hopefully it goes in. And even if it doesn't, they've got 40 seconds. They don't have a minute 38.
Yeah, no, I mean, either way you want to run it, I'm just more attack oriented. You know, we need a first down. Let's do our offense. It doesn't bode well when you stack those little guys up in there. You're just inviting them to pack the box. It's just a hard way to win a football game. You know, do what you do really, really well in those situations. I don't know. I don't love it. And frankly, you know, we hit two field goals that our guy normally hits, and that's his job, right? He had a crappy game. I can say it out loud. He had a crappy game. He missed two kicks that he would normally kick. Now, sure, I'd rather have touchdowns, but we were in a position with his abilities to kick a field goal. Kick the damn field goal.
Right. Trying to respond to spin, and I typed a response and it deleted it on me. So keep talking. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to research that, Spin. We'll do what we can. All 22. Well, no,
it's not available until Tuesday is the problem.
We've talked about the problem. It's not. Yeah. And by that time, all you guys want to talk about is the next game anyway. So that's why this show follows the game, baby. But let's continue on this a little bit.
Yeah.
There's no question in my mind that Dorsey is a little bit on the hot seat. And probably Dable too, since they both start with D-O. Mm-hmm. Right?
Double.
I'm sticking with that. I'm dying on that hill. And, you know, it's a little bit of his own making, not because of his play calling, but I think there's more there, just as you were talking about earlier, you know, conceptually, there's more to the game that we are not doing.
Right.
And it's either he's limited in his either experience, knowledge, or he's afraid, right, to do something that's a little outside the box. But yeah, I think he's a little bit in the hot seat.
You think that Ken Dorsey is on the hot seat?
I think it's I live in Arizona, right? I got this new truck and it's got heated seats. Now, I have no idea why they would even ship a truck for sale to Arizona with heated seats.
My wife's car has air conditioned seats and heated seats.
Yeah, I know. She's big time though.
So great story. I'm driving. We had my wife's car for about 10.
Wait. Hold your story. There are three levels to the setting. Right, there's warm.
Oh, it's fancy.
There's a that's warmer.
And then swamp.
And then there's my ass is on fire.
Swamp ass.
So I think Dorsey is at level one, or the button is like, you know, they're reaching for the button.
I'll come back to that.
Okay, now tell your silly story about
we had my wife's new car for about 10 miles. I'm exaggerating. It was may have been 100, whatever. And it was a hot day, hot evening, and me and my wife and another couple were going to see Nate Bargatze perform at UB. He's a stand-up comedian, super hilarious. If you don't know who he is, check him out. And for some reason, like, the car's making a noise. And I don't know if you're like me, but most dudes in cars, if there's a noise that's not normal or familiar, we lose our minds trying to figure out what the heck is this noise.
What the hell is that, right?
Yeah, finally I figure it out. It's the seat cooler. The seat cooler has like a fan in it, so it was making like a little.
Yeah, well, of course, that's how you move air.
It makes sense now, but at the moment I was like, what is that noise? Anyway, so Sean McDermott was asked by the Buffalo Bills media today, if there would be any consideration, or if he would ever give consideration. I'm not exactly sure how it was worded, to somebody else calling offensive plays. And McDermott was like, nope. And you're shaking your head like that's the obvious answer. However, we don't need to go back very far, just a couple of years. And McDermott took the play calling away from Leslie Frazier.
Yeah, well, I don't see McDermott as being an offensive wizard. I don't see him calling the plays.
No, it wouldn't be him.
I don't know who your backup is in this scenario.
Joe Brady, there's got to be somebody else, but for all intents and purposes, but yeah.
I don't see it. You're 4-2. You might not like everything you see, but it hasn't been egregious. It's just
I hate the notion of it worked. We won. Like, I hate that. Like, why would we change anything? We won.
Well, okay. Play calling is not just like dial it up. It doesn't work that way. And it takes a while for people to get their sea legs. And if they never get it, then they're gone. Mm-hmm. I think Dorsey's somewhere on the cusp. I don't think he's horrible. Like, a lot of people want to drag the guy behind a car. But I think he needs to get better. He needs to look deeper into the playbook at various times of the game. He needs to get away from doing the shotgun at the 2-yard line. I don't believe in that. And somebody else like you might say, I'm good with that if Josh is going to run it. But clearly Josh isn't running it as much anymore, except when opportunity presents.
I don't think it's a good comparison, because I think you guys ran like six plays, right? And Jim was calling his own plays. You were not there when Marcia Broda was there. Who was the? How many offensive coordinators did you have in your time with the Bills?
Four.
Four.
Two, three, four, five, maybe. Four.
I think what's weird about it in your situation, because Jim was calling the plays. So as a musician, right, there stylistically, there's a style that I effectively am, wanna be, whatever, like a style of music that I play, perform, yada yada. That doesn't mean that I can't execute country, that I can't execute jazz, that I can't execute some other version of music that isn't necessarily my wheelhouse. I feel like, to bring this all around, Ken Dorsey took the Dable playbook and is trying to incorporate the things that he likes or the things that he liked as a quarterback that aren't necessarily akin to the Dable platform, the Dable scheme, the Dable, whatever you want to call it. So it's like me, if I were a country artist and I joined a rock band and then we started writing music and I was starting to throw country flair into it and it just started getting weird. And I feel like that's kind of what's happening. There's a lot of Dorseyisms in the Dable scheme that don't really jive.
I'm going to measure my response with, I think that it's less constrictive than you want to believe. Like it's every offense can evolve into something else and everything has, and again, it's not akin to playing, you know, heavy metal and then having some country chords rolled in. It would be a little bit more of, you know, old country with some new country rhythms. So I don't think that anybody's offensive philosophy is so restricted that there aren't ways to enhance it. So we could just leave it at that, Joe, because
that makes sense.
But what I will say is you don't just like, all right, Joe Miller, you're the offensive coordinator. I mean, you've got to, it takes a long time, I think, to get into that role. And by and large, that's what training camp is for, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, it takes a long time. Three games is not a long time, right? I mean, it takes
one. No, but if that's all the time you have, it's a long time.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So let's get ready to wrap the show up, and let's talk about our last topic, which is the Buffalo Bills will be playing the New England Patriots this coming weekend. The New England Patriots, who went 30 possessions before finding the red zone. Mac Jones, if it wasn't already known by Bills Mafia, it is now known around the NFL world that he is not a good quarterback. He has been a turnover machine. I think he ended up with a safety this past weekend. Bill Belichick is in the throes of the worst opening season or beginning of a season that he's ever had. I, for one, have tweeted several times that I don't think Bill Belichick is the greatest head coach of all time. Without Tom Brady, he's pretty much average at best. I think the best NFL head coach in the modern era might be Mike Tomlin, who's never gone less than 500 in a season. You talk about a guy that makes chicken salad out of chicken all the time, as far as that goes. However, in my opinion, I'm going to give you the Sterles version. The Buffalo Bills should dog walk the Patriots this weekend, right?
And they should have dog walked the Giants yesterday.
Yeah, but they have a habit of dog walking the Patriots. Like if there's a get right game, it's this game.
Okay, so that's the question. I think you could take the disappointment of London, the blah win yesterday, which was a slugfest, and just crush those both together into the win that we thought as fans we would have yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I have to jump on something real quick. John Hammer says, dude, Belichick is why we lost to the Giants in 91. That is not true. Belichick basically somewhat made us play into his hands in that first Super Bowl. The reason that we lost that Super Bowl, and John, you didn't play in that one. You weren't on the team then. You were still at Arizona. Was because Jim Kelly continued to throw the football. When Thurman Thomas had 135 yards on, I think, 14 carries, had they just fed the ball to Thurman the whole game, that game would have been iced. So, anyway. Can you do that math? What is 14 carries? What's that average? 135 yards on 14 carries? It's pretty good, right?
Nine.
Pretty good.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And Cook had over five. So yeah, this game. I like us at New England AstroTurf. I think that matters. I think that helps. You know, grass hurt Thurman every now and again. You know, when it got slick, you shouldn't cut on your inside leg. And the way Thurman ran the ball, I don't see Latavius Murray or Cook running the same style that Thurman did. So I don't think it has as big effect on these guys, but I think AstroTurf, and it sounds silly to say it, you know, I think AstroTurf helps us in this.
Yeah, I think
what I loved, and we didn't talk about this, they did on TV, and I have to give a shout out to Tirico and Collinsworth. It was about the first game where Collinsworth didn't make me want to throw up.
Yeah, I agree.
But what he made the comment, or Tirico, and I think it was Collinsworth, he said, you know, Ken Dorsey and Sean McDermott are coming out and running the ball. They're maintaining patience. And I think that if we look back at this game more as a springboard to go forward, it's you can run the football and trust that you're going to run it well if you apply it. Right. So you have to have faith. You know, you could argue that it's because we have McGovern and we have Torrence now, but they ran the ball extremely efficiently yesterday.
Yeah.
And it is the groundwork of every great football team, my opinion only, apparently. But
are we at the point, we've talked the last couple of years about the Bills wanting to be multiple. You and I have talked about it, multiple in the run game. Are we at the point where they're just going to settle on a run scheme and do it?
They did yesterday. They ran two plays.
The whole game.
They ran two plays.
I think I mean more
they,
game.
They ran,
I mean more
they
game, ran a, to game.
They ran a variation within those plays. For example, if you're running five guys zoned to the right and you have the receiver or the tight end coming back and kicking out the end, that's still zone blocking. Now, you can run that same play with Edwards in the backfield going and kicking the end, right? Just in the same way that I hated Collinsworth for him calling it trap that the Giants were running because it was power. You can run power with the tight end following the guard, or you can have the tight end on the front side and he's just releasing for the guy that he would have. He's the first guy, but he's taking the second guy. There's a drawing attached to this conversation that we can't do here, but the Bills basically ran zone,
right?
Almost every running play was zone. It was just a variation thereof. Yep. And they ran it superbly.
You weren't on Twitter today. I think you said Thurman Thomas Jr. Tweeted out, I think last night, and he said, I am done with the inside delay handoff. Like, I've seen enough of it. To which Thurman Thomas Sr. retweeted it and posted, right there with you, son. So both of them are over the delay handoff for the Buffalo Bills currently.
Right. And frankly, the zone is not delayed handoffs like they're kind of describing. But because the ball is in flight before Josh gets it, there is a delay by the time the running back gets it and can make his reads. So the difference is when you took the ball under center, the quarterback's going backward while the running back is going forward, and you get to the line of scrimmage a little bit quicker. And, you know, the zone read, the inside zone play, it's blocked a little bit differently conceptually, but the real difference is the distance from the line of scrimmage or the downhill speed of the running back by the time he gets it. And I don't disagree with those guys at all. And I did see something – I think Cover One put it up, the difference between draw and what they call duo, which is basically inside zone. And it's the blocking scheme. It's what's are you selling pass or are you making it look like a run?
Right.
But I think there's some merit to that. You know, I don't know that James Cook is a big bruising back, but I think Latavius Murray can certainly lower his shoulder a little bit better. And if you can... So many of the yards that you gain are at the point or after you are being tackled, right? So if a running back can engage the defender before he has a chance to settle his hands and reset himself against the offensive lineman, then he's always making an arm tackle. He's always leaning back to make the tackle, and you're always looking at 2 to 3 yards.
Gotcha.
But if the defender has a chance to set his hands and then make a read and shed, and the ball carrier is still not near the line of scrimmage, that's a much bigger challenge. Now, look, they're not going to stop evolving the game because you and I had a 4-minute discussion on this podcast. So we is where we are. We be where we is, and we just got to make it work more gooder.
You talk jive? Sorry.
No. When I coach football, airplane quote. I know it is. When I'm talking to the kids at practice, I always mispronounce something or spell something wrong to see if they're paying attention.
Gotcha.
So sometimes I think you're drifting on me, Joe.
Nope. I'm actually just trying to segue into, I definitely don't drift. I'm trying to think of where we're going next, which we are going to. No, we're done with that. We both pretty much said they should dog walk the Patriots. But where we're going next is getting you out of here so that you can make it to practice. That's where we're going.
Yeah. Before I get
us out of here, any final thoughts, comments, words? The whole breakdown you just did was fantastic for those that want more of the football stuff, right?
Technical aspect of the game.
Yeah.
You know what? Just keep the faith. There's only been a couple of perfect seasons. You're going to drop some. You're going to have some non-stellar performances. So you could maybe chalk this up to one, but after reviewing the game, it wasn't as bad as it felt yesterday, minus that last drive where we needed to ice it. So I would just say, you know, patience. Be ready. Our team is still there. They're still evolving, and we just make sure we can't miss a step.
Yeah. I think I said it on the show this morning, the overreaction show. If the Bills had won in London, beat Jacksonville, I think we feel different about this football game, this win.
Yep. Agreed.
We all agree they escaped, but we feel different about it. It's like they escaped, right? Coming off London, travel, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, why does this game look so much like London? This is a problem. Like two is a problem.
And sometimes escape is all you get.
So, yeah, and that's all you need, right?
So, that's right.
I mean, the Patriots won a Super Bowl by escaping when the Seattle Seahawks threw instead of giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch, which, by the way, the Giants should have done on the last untimed down. They should have given the ball to Saquon. The hole was there. I could see it from my seat. I was like, oh, my God, don't give it. And they threw the ball. I was like, thank God.
I thought they were going to run it.
Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into the Off Tackle with John Fina show. Brought to you by Ficta, Endel, and Elmer Eye Care on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. Thank you so much to everybody who has joined us for this live show. We appreciate every single one of you. We will be back next week after the Patriots game. But for myself, for John Fina, for everybody here at Buffalo Rumblings, go Bills!
Go Bills!
Go Bills!